Hi everyone, really good to be sharing with you today. Hope that you've had a good year, and as we near the Christmas and New Year season, it's a really meaningful time for you. It has been a little bit of a crazy year in some ways, hasn't it? We've still got COVID hanging around. Weather has been all over the place. I put up our Christmas tree last Sunday. Monday we had hail, kind of a white Christmas down south. And so weather's been all over the place, and we've had elections this weekend here in Victoria, as well as the recent midterms in America. The economy's kind of a little bit all over the place. So it's been kind of a crazy year, hasn't it? And that's why I think it's really great to be part of a church community, you know, where we do life best when we do it with others rather than alone. And so hope you're enjoying being a part of the Bayside community. And if you're watching or just visiting and connecting, then love you to be a part of what's happening here at Bayside. Really appreciate Pastors Rob and Christy for their excellent leadership and the rest of the team and all of our volunteer leaders. So appreciate your leadership during these times. Today, I want to share a message with you entitled Leadership Wisdom for Everyone. Leadership Wisdom for Everyone. Proverbs 11:14 says, without wise leadership, a nation falls, but there is safety in having many advisors. We could flip that around and go, with wise leadership, nations do well, as do families, as do small groups, as do businesses, as do churches. Leadership expert John Maxwell says, everything rises and falls on leadership. It's a pretty dramatic statement, isn't it? But that's what Proverbs 11, verse 14 is saying. If you find something good happening, you can usually trace it back to a leader or a group of leaders who are leading really well. If things are falling apart, if there's chaos everywhere, then usually there's a lack of a leader or a leader or a group of leaders who aren't leading very well. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word leader. Often we associate the word leader with someone with a position or someone with a title. The Prime Minister is a leader. The Premier is a leader. The Senior Minister is a leader. And that is true. But, you know, leadership is much broader than having a position or a title. I think at its core, leadership is about influence. And the truth is, all of us are influencing. The question is not, are you influencing others? The question is, what kind of an influence are you having on those around you? And so all of us influence, and all of us are influenced by other people. And so to me, that's the basic essence of leadership. And so in many ways, we're all leaders because we're all influencing people around about us. You know, God has a purpose, but he carries out his purpose through people. And that includes you and it includes me. And so when we think about leadership, first of all, we've got to lead ourselves. How many know that's probably the most difficult person to lead is yourself, self-leadership. And then we all influence our friends and our family. We have influence at our workplace or our school if you're studying, and also in our church community as well as in the nation. I'm sure we all voted this weekend. That's one way to influence the future of our own state. And so today we're going to talk about leadership wisdom for everyone, whether you've got a position or a title, you're an influencer. And so I want to draw some wisdom today from the book of Proverbs. And I think this is a good message as we come to the end of another year, a time to reflect and to look back. And as we prepare and enter a new year, I think leading our own lives is really, really important. So we're going to draw some wisdom from the book of Proverbs. How does leadership work? What do leaders actually do? I've been leading for many, many years in a variety of informal and formal positions, and I've discovered leadership's a complex task. There's a lot of things that leaders need to get their head around, and so today I'm going to give you a bit of a big picture of some of the ingredients or components of leadership and then apply it to our own lives. Just a quick overview with some brief comments. Number one, the first thing leaders deal with is something called mission. And mission answers the question, why? Proverbs 16 verse 4 says, the Lord has made everything for his own purposes. Why does God do stuff? Well, he's got a purpose. He's got a mission in mind. And so the first question is not what or how. The first question is why. And so why are you here? Why do you exist? Why are you on the planet? Why are you doing what you're doing? This is core for anyone who thinks like a leader. And you know, our mission or our purpose is more something we discover than something we decide. And so, as I've shared with you before, how has God shaped you? What has God called you to do? What is your contribution? What is your mission? And you know, we're all unique. We all have a unique purpose, a unique mission. And in that mission is our sense of meaning and contribution. And so maybe yours is creating, or maybe you're good at organizing. Maybe you're a caring person or a planner, or maybe you're a communicator. We all have different reasons for being here. But as we prepare to move into the new year, just revisit your mission. Why are you here? You know, Jesus had a clear sense of mission. He would say things, "I've come to seek and save the lost." That's the why question. Why are you here, Jesus? I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom. Jesus regularly made mission statements. Here at Bayside, we have a great mission to be a Christian community who work together, for justice, mercy, and faith. I love that. A Christian community working together in justice, mercy, and faith. And so what about you? What is your mission? Why are you here? What's your contribution? It's a really important part of leadership. Number two is something called values. Values answer the question, what? What is important to us? Let's look at Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good reputation, choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver and gold. That's an interesting statement. Notice that there's some values here. Nothing wrong with riches or wealth, but the author here is saying, I would rather choose a good reputation and being held in high esteem than have wealth without that character and that integrity. And so just listing what you value and then prioritizing them. For this person, they're saying, hey, nothing wrong with riches or wealth, but I want character, honesty, integrity even more than wealth or riches. And so values answer the question, what? What's important to you? Jesus had very specific values. He would say, you know, you've heard it say, but I say unto you. He's talking about what's important to him. And so what are your values? Don't just follow the crowd or value what other people say is important. What's important to you? Bayside has seven articulated core values. You can read them on the website. Living and loving the Word of God, contending for the supernatural, intimacy with God, connection, servanthood, search and rescue, and generosity. That's the DNA, the culture of Bayside. And so leaders understand the importance of values. And not only articulating them and talking about them, but then living them or modeling them. You know, as a parent, if you say to your kids, don't yell, you know, I'm saying one thing, but I'm modeling something different. And people tend to do what they see rather than just what they hear. And so as a leader, leading your own life, mission, why are you here? What's your purpose? Secondly, values. Maybe take some time over the next couple of weeks and just say, what's important to me? And then rank those in order of importance, because values influence all the decisions that we make. Whether we're aware of it or not, every decision we make is based on some kind of value system. Number three, the third component of leadership is vision. Vision answers the question, where? Well, where are we heading over this next season? Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no revelation or vision, people cast off restraint. And so when there's no sense of direction, no sense of vision, we tend to live undisciplined lives. The contrast is true also. When we have a sense of vision, a sense of direction, a sense of purpose, then we live motivated lives. And so leaders are called to capture a preferred picture of the future that motivates us with a sense of passion. And so I wonder what your vision is for the next year. What do you see? What's on the horizon? Bayside's vision is to courageously love and empower people to become like Jesus. That's what the leaders see. That's what we as a congregation see. What's your vision? What do you see for the next year? Is it helping lonely people find friendship? Is it bringing order out of chaos? Is it seeing justice for the oppressed? Is it care for the hurting? Is it adding creativity and color to life? Is it good news for those without hope? You know, what do you see for your life in the coming year? And, you know, vision doesn't always just happen in a moment. It's a little bit like those old Polaroid pictures. Remember the Polaroid cameras? You get a group of people, you take a picture, pop, out comes this white piece of paper. What do you see? Nothing. But eventually, if you just wait, eventually there's some blobs and blurs, and then eventually clarity comes and it's, oh, there we are. You know, vision's a little bit like that. Sometimes we need to take some time just to reflect and go, where is my life heading next year? Don't just be busy. Next year will be busy, but what will it be busy with? What's the vision you have for your life? That's a key part of leadership. The next component of leadership, number four, is team building. Proverbs 18 verse 1 says, a man or a woman who isolates themselves seeks their own desire. When we're a loner, when we're doing life alone, we tend to drift from our purpose in life. And so team building answers the question, who? None of us are as good as all of us. And together, everyone achieves more. Jesus could have done life by himself, but he was a team builder. Gathered 12 people, he did life together with them. Here at Bayside, we're all about training and mobilizing everyone into ministry. And so as a leader, as you think about your life, who are your friends? Who are your traveling companions? Who are your guides? Who are you doing life together with? Don't go it alone. Your purpose is far bigger than just yourself. And so team building is something that all leaders think about. Number five, as we go through these ingredients, is something called strategy. A strategy answers the question, how? How are we going to get from where we are to where we want to be? Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run, but hurry and scurry puts you further behind. That's the Message Bible. Careful planning. And so strategy looks at where you are now, your current reality, and where you want to be, your vision, your future, and then thinks about what are the next steps. Some people like the word goals, or some people like the word objectives. But the question is, as you go into the new year, what's your mission? What are your values? What's your vision? Who's on your team? But what's your strategy? What are the steps you're going to take in the coming year that will help make your vision a reality? Jesus had a clear strategy. He was training 12 disciples. He was visiting every town in Israel. He was ministering to the crowds. He had another group of 70. He was later going to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus had a clear strategy. So strategy answers the question, how? And then number six, planning answers the question, when? When are you going to do those things? When are you going to allocate time, energy, finance, resources to those steps? I think sadly, sometimes we think that using the word planning and Holy Spirit in the one sentence just kind of doesn't work. But God's a great planner. I love the week of creation. God's got a vision of a new world, a vision of a universe with humans and animals and the beauty of nature and the wonder of creation. God doesn't just have a vision. Think of God as a strategic planner. On the first day, God makes the light. And at the end of the day, he goes, it's been a good day. He doesn't say, oh, I haven't done this, haven't done this. Then God went to bed or whatever God does at night, got up the next day, made the next thing. He divided this vision project, this creation project, into 6 days of sequential bite-sized action steps. And then on the seventh day, he celebrated in the completion of this project and he rested and blessed that Sabbath. Think about God not just as a visionary, but as a strategic planner. A lot of people have amazing dreams and visions for their life, but what's your strategy? What's your plan? What steps are you taking to make that a reality? Jesus said, I will build my church. Building is brick by brick, step by step, and there's a plan. And so what are you building with your life? Success is not an accident. It takes discipline, hard work, focus. Have you ever maybe driven by or walked by a house with a beautiful garden? You go, wow, what an amazing garden. there was a time when that was just a vacant block of land, but someone had a vision. And what did they do? They dug and they planted and they fertilized and season in, season out, they cultivated that garden. You're seeing the end result of someone not only with a vision, but with a strategic plan. It's the same with a life. It's the same with a family. It's the same with a team. The same with a healthy, growing church. It doesn't just happen. It takes strategy and it takes planning. And then number seven, the seventh ingredient in leadership is something called spiritual momentum. This answers the question, what now? Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. It's really, really important. We can have all these things in place. We can have mission and values and vision and our team and strategy and plan, But it's the moving of the Holy Spirit. It's the sensitivity to God. It's that sense of timing that is the real key for any leader, but also in leading our own lives. You know, momentum is a leader's best friend. You know, if you've got a train and the train is still or stationary, you can put a brick in front of that front wheel of the train and that train's not going anywhere. But if you take the same train and it's going 100 kilometers an hour, it's going to bust through a brick wall. What's the difference? The difference is the movement, the momentum. And momentum happens through God's work in our life, but also our responsiveness to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. Here at Bayside, we're always wanting to keep in step with what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so as we move into the next year, what about you? What is God saying to you right now? Where is the wind blowing? What is the Spirit speaking to you, directing to you about? And so we've got a diagram coming up now with all of these components there for you to have a look at. There they are. Leadership is a complex task. It involves mission, values, vision, team building, strategy, planning, spiritual momentum. And all godly leaders use these principles, and whether you've got a position or title or not, but we can also use them in our own lives. And so mission and values don't usually change from year to year. We want to reinforce them. We can easily drift from them, but those are pretty permanent. Vision is seasonal. And so the question is, what's on the horizon for you in the next 1 to 2 to 3 years? Team building is continual. Strategy and planning need to be flexible. We continually evaluate and adjust and fine-tune our plan. And then spiritual momentum is something we're hopefully doing on a daily basis. And so what about you today? Maybe you've never seen yourself as a leader. Well, you are leading, you are influencing, and it starts with leading your own life. And so as we come to the end of another year, I wonder what your mission is and what your values are. Maybe it'd be good to take some time and invest into articulating those. What's your vision? Where are you heading? What steps are you going to take next year to make that a reality? As I said earlier, the question is not, will next year be busy? It will be a busy year, but what will it be busy with? Activity is not necessarily accomplishment. And so leadership's important, management's important. Sometimes we're so busy managing the details of our life that we don't think about leading our life. You know, we often live by the clock. What time is it? And the clock is about speed and pace and productivity. But there's another instrument called the compass. The compass is not about speed, it's about direction. Which direction is my life heading? And so for you, I want to really encourage you to think and to see yourself as a leader, to think about the direction of your life, to take some time aside. You can't always do this on the run. You know, Jesus regularly pulled aside from the crowd to refresh and to gain perspective. And I think that's a good thing to embed in your own life in the coming year. I try to once a month just have a bit of a retreat time just by myself, where I'll take my Bible and my notebook and I'll think about the direction of my life. And it's so, so very important. And so as we wrap this up today, you know, some of us have a gift of leadership, and that's wonderful, and we appreciate all of our leaders. But all of us need to lead to some degree based on our unique style and levels of calling. All of us, as I said, are called to be leaders. I like to consider the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. You know, a thermometer is a reactionary instrument. If the room is hot, the thermometer goes up to measure that heat. If the room is cool, the thermometer goes down to mark that coldness in the room. So a thermometer reacts to the environment. A thermostat is a proactive instrument. It influences the environment. So if the room is cold, you turn the thermostat up, it warms the room up. If the room is hot, you turn the thermostat down, it cools the room down. I think God's called us to be thermostats. You know, you might be in some heated situations, you can actually cool things down a little bit. Maybe you're in a situation that's a little bit cool, you can warm things up. And so as a leader, be an influencer. See yourself as a leader. Begin leading your own life with a new sense of passion. We only have one life to live. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. And so lead your own life well and seek to be a positive influence on those around about you in your circle of influence and relationships and connection. Let me pray for you today. Dear God, thank you for this year, the highs, the lows, the joys, and even some of the challenges we've had to navigate through. As we come to the end of this year, the next couple of weeks, we just pause for a moment. We reflect back with gratitude. You brought us through. You've been there with us and for us along the way. As we come to the Christmas New Year season, I pray for a blessing on each person here today, those listening to this message. And as we prepare for the new year, Lord, I pray that we would all have wisdom for leadership, whether we've got a formal leadership position or not, that we'd all lead our own lives well and be a positive influence for you wherever we are. I ask this today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Bayside. See you next time.